Hey, welcome, Insight, Jack Stogler, Mr. Neil Spencer, how are you tonight?
Not too bad.
I missed you last week.
Yep, how can you miss me if I won't go away?
Well, I try. So, you were at the MD tournament.
Yep, I'm in charge of getting announcers on the Diamond 8, they call it the big diamond one with lights that has the fence, and get announcers and lineup sponsors for those games, and yep. So it's a pretty big deal.
Yep. And yep.
About 40 games.
So how many years have you done that?
I keep getting asked that. My best guess is right around 20.
I'd
have thought it was important.
You'd have kept track.
But I don't really know. It's at least 15.
But so. You'd said that that place had raised, that event had raised close to $1.2 million.
If we had a decent weekend this past weekend, we would get to 1.2, and I'd say we had at least a decent. I can't remember what it was, but it was 1.17 something, I think. And we last year they were only able to raise 15,000. There was rain. It was horrible weather. Most years it's 35,000 to 45,000.
Yeah.
So we came close to that anyway. And if we came anywhere near that, it'll be 1.2 the million that's raised for muscular dystrophy, which that's great. And we had to announce some bad news on Sunday that Jerry Lewis.
Yeah,
passed away, and he, while he was doing the telethon, he raised $2.6 billion.
Isn't that incredible?
That's beyond incredible.
That is unbelievable.
That's unreal. Yeah. That is unreal.
Well, you and a whole slew of other people can be very proud of what you do over there.
It takes over 600 volunteers to do that.
No kidding.
Yep. That's a lot of people.
Well, welcome to Insight. This is Jack Stogler. We have a special guest in studio, Mr. Travis Faber. Hello, Travis.
Hello, Jack. Thanks for having me here. I'm happy to be down here in beautiful Fort Recovery, and hopefully we're going to answer some questions tonight.
We will give it a shot. Travis is running for the 84th District, Ohio State Representative, correct?
Yes, sir, to the 84th District, which encompasses all of Mercer County, all of Auglaize County, except for St. Mary's and Wapakoneta, a little bit of Shelby County, and then Dark County from Greenville North minus Adams Township.
Okay. So let's learn a little bit about, Travis, where you're from, where you went to school, that type of thing?
Well, I currently live in Salina. I went to Ohio Northern University for law school, and that's actually what I do in Salina right now. I practice law. Our office is right out on 703, right next to Wright Lake State Campus.
Okay.
We've been in there for quite a while. I've been in the office for going on about 7 years now. I worked there the entire time I was in law school, and then I've been practicing for about 3 years. I'm licensed here in Ohio, and I'm also licensed over in Indiana, obviously, because we're so close to the border. We have a lot of cases that come from people who live here in Mercer County and go over and do things in Indiana and need some help with, whether they be business relations that go across the border or different things there. So yeah, we enjoy working in Mercer County, and we enjoy the people here in Mercer County.
And you graduated from Salina?
No, sir. I actually went to school outside of state, and I came here to go to law school, and left, and then decided all the places I could go to live, I decided Salina was a beautiful place, and Mercer County was a great place to make a home.
Well, you're at least right about the Mercer County part.
Yeah, that is true. Come down here to Fort Recovery.
That's right.
We love Fort Recovery. I've been coming down here since I was a little kid with my uncle, and the community down here is just fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the people down here, whether you're just walking down the street, everybody says hi to you. If you go to the events, the various events that Fort Recovery has here, whether it's the community events in the park, we were here for the wine and beer tasting downtown.
Good choice.
Earlier this year, that was fantastic as well.
Yeah.
So was that you laying in the street?
I don't think it was me. I might have been helping somebody out of the street. But since I've been doing this politics thing, I try not to.
Yeah, you got to watch it a little bit.
So I may have falsely accused you.
That wasn't me.
So I'm going to ask a relatively dumb question, but I'll ask it anyway.
No, there are no dumb questions.
So, what made you decide to run for your uncle's open seat?
Well, you know, this is funny because everybody always assumes that because I'm involved with Keith, that's what makes me political. That's what makes me want to go out and do things. And it really isn't true. I always tell people that Keith likes to take credit for things, but this is one thing he can't take credit for. Yeah. I got involved politically because of my family background. My parents owned some small businesses when I was growing up. My dad's actually a plastering contractor. And if you grew up in the Faber household, you sat around the table at night, every night. My mom still to this day makes us, if we're home, you've got to eat family at the family dinner table, and you talk about what you did that day. And so we would talk about, you know, what we did at school, and my dad would talk about what was going on in the business, whether it be new taxes that were coming out. And we as kids growing up would see the ramifications of those decisions, whether it were new taxes that were going to cut into his bottom line. You know, that usually meant that he wasn't going to be able to hire as many employees, whether it was a new regulation. Obviously, as a contractor, he had to deal with quite a few regulations, both on a state level and on a federal level. And when I saw those regulations come down, I realized what it did to his business, and I realized what it did to our family and all the employees that he employed. And that made me want to get involved. It made me want to help out. And that's actually one of the reasons I became an attorney, because I wanted to help people out. I wanted to help other business owners out, like my dad. And that's what we mainly do at our office now. We're about 50% business law, about 50% civil litigation. And, you know, I'm helping those people out as much as I can. But you do see there are limitations on what one attorney can do. And sure, I've had a great mentor in my uncle, working with him on both the law side and on a political side. And I've seen what he's been able to do, not just for one business or a couple of people in our office, but what he's been able to do for our community and our state as a whole. And it's something that I'd like to carry on.
Okay. And you say you've got a fiance out there?
I don't have a fiance. Now you're asking me pointed questions like that. Yeah. I have
we promised him we wouldn't.
A very nice young lady from Minster, Ohio that I've been dating now. And you know, she's a great person and
fantastic.
Thank you very much. I had to
throw you under the bus a little bit.
Jack was looking for some for a scoop today.
Just trying to nudge you along here.
Something tells me that if I propose to my girlfriend on a radio station, even if it's a great radio station like this, she probably won't be particularly happy.
I don't think so. So, well, I tell you what, we're going to take a little break and come back and talk, you know, a little bit about what Travis Faber stands for and what you care about and how that relates to the people of Fort Recovery, too. So,
absolutely.
We'll be back right after this.
Thank you, guys.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our 7 different subs, plus your choice of 2 of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50 cent wings and boneless wings and 75 cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut grilled or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of 2 sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
Hi, this is Joyce, deli manager at Wayne Street Markets. The heat is rising outside and so is our prices. Too hot to cook? Try our deli chicken and JoJo fries. On Wednesday after 3 and all day on Sundays, we have a 12-piece bucket chicken with JoJo fries for $12.99. Save $2. Also, don't forget, every Tuesday, Tenderloin Tuesday, $2.69 a sandwich and $4.29 for a meal. Don't forget, in August, schools will be starting. Watch for children and school buses. And always thanks for shopping Wayne Street IGA in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs. Local Methodist churches from Fort Recovery, Erastus, and Coldwater invite you to a steak dinner that will be held at the Fort Recovery American Legion on Saturday, August 26th from 4:30 to 7:30. Your meal includes steak, mashed potatoes and gravy, your choice of corn or green beans, along with coleslaw, a dinner roll, a dessert, and a beverage. Adult meals are only $9 each, and small meals are only $6 each, and carryouts are available. Tickets for this steak dinner will be available at the door or ahead of time from any member of the three Methodist churches. Proceeds from the dinner will be used to support the ministries of the three churches. Don't miss this steak dinner from the Fort Recovery Coldwater and Erastus Methodist churches at the Legion just north of Fort Recovery on Saturday, August 26th from 4:30 to 7:30.
We're back. Insight.
From 4:30 to 7:30. Somehow that got cut off at the end of the Methodist churches, Erastus, Durbin, Coldwater, doing a steak dinner out at the Legion this Saturday night.
So we're back from 4:30 to 7:30?
No. That was when the Methodist dinner is.
Okay.
Steak dinner is on Saturday night.
You know what? I know that Jill Walters has tickets.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, you can get them ahead of time from any member. Jill Walter, let's see, who else is selling them?
Ed Link.
Oh,
I bet.
Yep, probably.
Yep. Mike Walter.
Yep, and they are available at the door.
Oh, yeah. So, great, great organization. I love going to church there because I'm always one of the youngest people there.
So. Do you get there much? I know, I know Delbert still goes there.
We go with him. You know, three or four times a year.
Yep.
But it's neat. Plus, I'm, you know, one of the better singers, too.
Okay.
Which is good.
Soprano, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, I almost said Keith. So
I'm much better looking than Keith.
Oh, yeah.
You can't make that mistake.
Yeah. So, Travis, you know, so you're 28 years old.
I am. Yep, 28. Going on 29, getting older every day.
So, from a politics standpoint, that's really young, isn't it?
Actually, if you look at the makeup of the Ohio State House right now, and especially if you look at the people that are running around the state, it's really not the case. We've got some people in the State House now that started out when they were, I believe, 23, 24.
Really?
And I really believe it's more about what you believe and what you've done and what you can do than how old you are. But sometimes it's good to have some new faces in and some new ideas as well.
Well, let's slide into that, you know, what you believe and stuff. So, as a, you know, candidate, what's your platform?
Well, I'm about as conservative as they come. I always joke about my liberal uncle, but Keith's been a great conservative, and we've had great conservatives from this area, whether they be Keith or Jim Beeke or Jim Zaringer. And I'd really like to carry on that legacy. Specifically, one thing that I've always been very concerned about is the scope and the size of government. And one thing that we've seen on a state level and a federal level recently is government really trying to get involved in the lives of everyday people, the business decisions that our businesses are making. I mean, we've seen it when it comes to healthcare. We've seen it when it comes to business regulations. We've seen it when, frankly, it comes to how we exercise our faith. And that all deals with government overreach. And I think it's one thing that we really need to worry about, and we really need to make sure there's somebody in there in the legislature who's willing to put a check on those things.
So, being conservative, much as your uncle is.
Yes.
How would you be different than Keith?
We have a little slight pause here.
Jack's grandson just stopped by.
That was my grandson.
So we're waving at
the kids outside.
Oh. Yeah, come on in.
Yeah. Well, Jack, I can say, well, they're coming in. Politically, I'm about as aligned with my uncle as anybody could be.
Yeah. Hello, crew Jackson.
How's it going, buddy?
Hi, bud.
Can I have a high five?
You got a high five?
No.
No. Okay. Goodbye.
I wish I had some popcorn to give you.
I know it.
He's fine. He just had ice cream.
All right.
Ooh, that's even better.
Bye, guys.
See you, buddy.
Good luck tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye, crew.
What's he got going on tomorrow?
He's getting tubes put in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that ear thing? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yep. Pray for him, and hopefully everything goes well. Excellent.
Sorry for the interruption, but nothing comes before grandkids.
I understand completely, and I have to say you've got a pretty cute grandkid.
Oh, yeah. So let's start over with the how do you align with Keith, and how might you differ?
Well, like I said, I've been working with Keith for quite a while, and he's been a great mentor. Politically, I'd say we'd line up about as closely as two people can. And that's not because he tells me what to do, but that's because I've seen the example he sets, and I believe in the same ideals and values and things that Keith has really worked hard for. I want to carry on that legacy. It's always good to have new ideas and a new perspective on things, but it's also important to respect those same values and those same ideas and those same beliefs and carry on some of that institutional knowledge that's gotten us so far in our state.
So, and I can see the last name being Faber, being a double-edged sword.
It is, most people think I run towards it. I'm usually trying to run away from it and show that I'm my own man.
Yeah.
That's
true. Well, and Keith has been a public servant in various new aspects for probably over 20 years.
The first time he ran, and I know this because I've been spending quite a bit of time down at the Dart County Fair, and the first time I went to the Dart County Fair with him was 1999. So we're going on about 18 years now.
Yep. So when you're in a political seat, I don't care what it is, for 18 years, you develop some influence and you make some people mad at you.
You do.
So how do you take that and balance it out to where you take both the pros and cons of it.
And it's something I've had to deal with on a law side as well. I practice law with Keith and we work together and it's the same thing in the law world. And how I've dealt with it is I've gone out and I've shown people what I can do. I work with people. I show them the example of who I am. And as they get to know me, hopefully, they know that I'm my own person and I have my own beliefs and I'm a hard worker and I have my own values and I'll stick to my values.
Okay. So as you look at the people that you represent,
yes, sir.
Because this is about you being a representative for the people of Mercer, Shelby, and
Mercer, Shelby, Auglaize, and Dart County.
Yeah. Okay. So that population is different now than when your uncle first ran.
Yeah, I think if you look at the last election, we've probably gotten more conservative. Mercer County has bragging rights that we were the highest vote getter for Donald Trump during the general election. Dart County was actually, I believe, statewide it was the second.
Is that right?
Yep.
So one of the sticking points and I get around just enough to know enough to make me dangerous. but it seems like Kasich has proclaimed that he's done an excellent job with the budget. Okay.
Well, yeah, and I'm more than happy to talk about the budget issues with you. It's something that I will, based on election cycle. So we pass a 2-year budget here in the state of Ohio. The last budget that is actually going through the final stages and processes of being passed now started out, the governor comes out with his budget, his plan, he outlines it. He usually hands that over to the House. The House usually looks at it, they laugh at it, they tear it apart, they don't use it, then they come up with their own budget. And then that budget goes to the Senate, and the Senate looks at the House's budget, and they usually laugh at it, tear it up, and don't use it. And then they pass their own budget. That goes back to the House, and then there's some back and forth. The back and forth is what's going on right now. And everybody comes to a conclusion and comes to an idea, and then it goes up to the governor. So that actually, that process has happened. It's gone to the governor, and the governor vetoed a bunch of parts of it. And that's when I say that it's going back and forth right now. It's come back to the House right now, and the House is to the point where they're overriding certain vetoes. If you talk to a lot of the people who were involved in the process early on, they were not happy with the governor's budget. Frankly, I wasn't happy with the governor's budget. The House budget that came after it, I wasn't a particularly big fan of that. I thought there was some stuff in there that didn't need to be in there. I thought it spent a lot more money than they need to. It actually, over 2 years, it expanded government by 7%. When I go back to talking about one of the issues that we have here in the state of Ohio is that debate over the scope and the size of government. You look at the last budget that came out, it increased the size of government by 7% over 2 years, which is higher than the rate of inflation. The House budget then went to the Senate. The Senate didn't agree with it. They actually cut a lot of the spending that was in the budget, and then it went through the process of reconciliation into the governor, and there was more stuff dropped out through vetoes. And at this point, the House is going through the process of actually overturning some of the governor's vetoes, which is pretty extraordinary. And I don't know the exact date, but I know it's been something like 20 years since the House has overturned a gubernatorial veto on a budget issue.
Especially when they're both controlled by the same party.
That's true. Yeah, that's what's really incredible there. Yeah. And I think it really kind of outlines where the governor is with political influence in the state of Ohio. I think there were a lot of people that weren't particularly happy with the governor's lack of support for the president during the last election.
Yeah. So when you, you know, one of the things that I've heard is that the state has improved their finances largely on the back of cuts that they made to villages and towns and new cities. So can like you share any?
Yeah, I can actually elaborate on that a little bit too, because that was actually part of this last budget and something that's going on, a debate that's going on, not in the House level, because the House has actually already voted to override Governor Kasich's veto, and the Senate still has to decide if they're going to override that veto. But an overall budget package eventually came out of the Senate, was reconciled with the House, and was passed. One of those initiatives within that budget was to allow local communities to collect taxes. It's actually not even taxes, it's fees on certain medical expenditures. Specifically Medicaid expenditures. The governor decided that he didn't like the collection of those fees, and he vetoed that. Overall, taxes in the state of Ohio went down. Spending in the state of Ohio from what the original budget was going to be went down, and that was part of the overall package that allowed local communities like villages and counties to collect some fees that would allow them to stay around. The House decided to override that. The Senate is probably going to decide to override that. But yeah, it's been a constant issue for our local community, villages and counties. But at the end of the day, I think what we need to do is we need to get into a position where we can allow those villages and those communities and those county governments to stand on their own and help them do that.
Very good. Neil just gave us the break sign, So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about various state government issues, so we'll be right back after this.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Are you looking to ease the daily grind in your livestock feeding operation? Archway Specialized Agriculture Equipment is here to help. With either hammer mill or roller mill action, our portable grinder mixers are the feed industry's gold standard. Rugged, reliable, and easily configurable to your specific feeding needs, Archway grinder mixers are available all the way up to 165 bushel tank size, the largest on the market. For superior ration without a lot of fuss, grind it Archway.
The bowling leagues in America Lanes are forming now, and they'll start the second week of September. So get yourself or your team signed up now for one of their fun bowling leagues. The preseason meeting for the women's leagues will be on Wednesday evening, August 23rd at 7 o'clock, and the men's league meeting will be on Thursday, August 24th at 7 o'clock. With several nights and times to choose from, you should be able to find a time that works for you and your friends to get together and have fun. And don't forget to call Miracle Lanes for your favorite food at 375-4274. They're open on Thursdays at 3 and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 11 a.m. Call Miracle Lanes now to get signed up for one of their men's or women's leagues. Leagues will start in September.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
Is Derek there?
Well, there's no one here named Derek.
But my brother Derek said you always have something for everyone.
Oh, you're talking about that, Derek. Well, he's right. We do have something for everyone with insurance plans from Ohio Mutual for your home, auto, farm, or business, and more.
Yes, someone there that can help Derek clean up his messy room.
Well, miss, that's one thing we really can't help him with.
Thank you.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
To St. Joe, Ohio for their annual homecoming festival on September 8th, 9th, and 10th. With plenty of entertainment for the whole family, Josie's family and friends will have plenty to do. It all kicks off on Friday night with St. Joe's largest cornhole tournament beginning at 7:30. On Saturday night, bring your lawn chairs for outdoor mass at 4:30. Then stick around for some famous chili, the Ohio State-Oklahoma football game, and good tunes by RJ the DJ. Sunday is headlined by the Kitty Tractor Pools at 2 o'clock and a comedy act by Mike Himmelgarn at 6 o'clock. Bingo, gambling, kitty games, beanbag and horseshoe tournaments, good food and drinks, and so much more awaits. So join Josie on the vacation of a lifetime to the St. Joe Homecoming Festival on the grounds of St. Joseph Parish in Fort Recovery on September 8th, 9th, and 10th.
We're back. Insight, Jack Stogler, Mr. Travis Faber, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. And so before we get into some of the other topics, it seems like the title of politician is a lot more tarnished now than it was.
I'd agree with you 100%, and it's really, from my perspective, quite sad. I mean, you look at the history of politics in America. We had people like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and John Hancock. I mean, not just the pinnacle of people in our country, but the pinnacle of people in the world and world history that founded this country. And you look at the way that they ran things, and it's just, we've gotten away from a lot of that. I see that in the legal profession as well. I know as a lawyer, it's on me every single day to bring back some of the respect in my profession. I remember we had lawyers. Now every lawyer has to take an ethics class as part of your law school requirement. You actually have to take an ethics exam before you become an attorney. And my professor, who taught the ethics class, he told us it's going to be on you to develop the reputation for the next generation. And as an example to highlight it, he asked us everybody in class. He said, "What's the first profession in the world?" And everybody knows that the first profession was prostitution. At some point, some caveman offered some cave woman some food or something to get what he wanted. And he goes, "Okay, you all know that. Now, what's the second profession?" And we all looked at him quite puzzled, and like, "I don't know what the second profession was."
And he said the second profession in history was advocacy. Because at some point, two cavemen got in an argument, and one caveman stepped between them, and he sided with one of them, and he said, this is why he's right. And that's what you do. You're advocates for people. And it's up to you to make sure that as a member of the second profession, the second oldest profession, that you make your profession more respected than the first profession. And so I've known that's been on me while I'm practicing every single day, whether I'm talking to a person on the phone who calls into our office, or I'm in a courtroom, or I'm working with other attorneys. It's on me to bring respect back to my profession. And frankly, it's going to be on me as a politician, whether I'm walking a parade or going door to door or in Columbus, to bring that respect back to our profession.
So as a new politician, are you going to do what's right or do what the people of your district want done? Because those may not be the same thing.
Hopefully they're the same thing. And I look at this community. I look not just for recovery, but Mercer County and the 84th District as a whole. And I see how conservative we are. And I usually fall back on the conservative decision is usually the right decision. But everything you deal with is different. And at the end of the day, I'm basically being hired by the people of the 84th District to go to Columbus to do their will. And I think I need to do what my community wants.
I've over the last 50 years, my answer to that has been different, probably 10 different times. And I think what I've come to the conclusion, especially recently, a lot of times the elected official, the appointed official, whatever it may be, has access to more information than the public. And sometimes, you know, the public isn't allowed to see all the evidence in certain things. So for this year, my opinion is, I think like everybody in my district, but I have more information than they're allowed to see, and so my decision may be different. Well, so that's the way I'm leaning now.
And you know, but I'd have to say, having, you know, I work right across from our current state representative. His office is right across the hall from mine. And something that he's made a point to me about is that it is your job as an elected official to disseminate that information back to your constituents.
Yeah. Now, sometimes they're not allowed to. State level, probably not very much.
On state level, generally you are. Yeah, obviously, yeah. There are some things.
On the national level, there's just many things that the Foreign Relations Committee and the this and that, they're not allowed to that is not public information.
As an Ohio House member, I don't get a top secret security clearance.
Yeah, so,
but it's my job to go not just represent people, but to bring that information back to them and give it back to our community in a way that they can understand.
So, can you ever see yourself voting for a Democrat?
It'd have to be a pretty darn conservative Democrat.
A Mercer County Democrat.
I think we have three left here.
There are several. I don't know if they're still doing things, and I don't remember who they were, but there were several. One of the big hot topics around here is abortion, anti-abortion Democrats. There's a number of them in the county.
Yeah, and what I'd tell you, I think I'm going to use the Jim Beeke comment, I don't judge people on their blood type. But with that said, I judge everybody not on the party that they stand with, but on the ideals and the values and the beliefs that they have. I'd support an independent. I'd support somebody who has the same values that I do, the same beliefs that I do, that want the same goals. But it really would be case specific, I'd have to say.
Would you reach across the aisle, okay, for a Democrat-sponsored bill, okay, if if it shifted, and you know, there are so many major issues, you know, whether it's health care or immigration or Medicare, and there are so many major issues that stay major issues because the two parties won't agree to find a way to make it better.
Yeah, and I think the interesting point is, and this is something that it's not sexy, it's not something that gets in the news, so we don't talk about it very often, but if you look on a state level, probably about 95% of the bills that pass pass with bipartisan support. And in fact, most of them are unanimous. They're bills that are co-sponsored by not just a Republican, but a Democrat as well. And obviously, Republicans control both houses here in the state of Ohio right now. That's something that we don't talk about very often. I think we need to talk about that more because on most of the issues, we stand together. We stand together as Ohioans, not as Republicans or Democrats. And it's important to talk about that because it shows that there is some civility within our system. It's those hot button issues, like you said, like Medicaid here in the state, Medicaid expansion, different budgetary issues, different tax issues, different regulatory issues that that we get real contentious on. And we both have our issues, whether we're Republicans or Democrats, and we need to have those discussions. And it generally goes the way it goes. So.
Did you agree with Governor Kasich's expansion of the Medicare?
I absolutely did not. I didn't just disagree with it. I absolutely disagreed with the way he did it. It should have been a decision of the legislature, and he took it out of their hands. But if you look at Medicaid expansion overall, it's been a disaster for the state of Ohio. When the governor initially decided to do that, he thought there'd be about 200,000 people that would be added to the Medicaid rolls. Since he's done it, 700,000 people have joined up in the Medicaid system. And I talked before about that 7% increase in government over 2 years. About 3 to 3.5% of that was all Medicaid expansion. So it's exploded the size of government. It's reduced our resources overall that we could put into things that we really need, like schools and roads and infrastructure. Because the money's now going to a group of people, and all they really did was they just changed the definition of poverty for who could get in on the system. And the governor likes to fall back, and he likes to say, well, I increased funding for people with drug addictions, and I increased funding for people with disabilities. Well, that's not part of the system that he changed at all. The only thing he really changed was the definition of who could come in based on the amount of money they were making. We didn't have 700,000 people in the state of Ohio that became disabled overnight. We didn't have 700,000 people that came in from those other groups that he likes to talk about. Now, are there people from those groups that come in? Absolutely. There are also people that like to eat at McDonald's. He didn't expand Medicaid for McDonald's people. It's just they happen to fall within that group. And it really, if you look at the size of government, the issues that it's brought to the table with that, it's just it has not been worth it.
Very good. Well, we're going to take one more break, and you come back, and we're going to talk about sex.
Oh,
so we'll be back right after this.
Nothing like coming in from a long day outside, plopping down in your favorite spot, sipping an ice-cold beverage, and letting the chill of the air conditioning make your summer day complete. Or you could have your legs sticking to a vinyl-covered chair placed 6 inches from a fan blowing full speed at your beet-red face as you wish you would have called Reasoner Energy for that Train air conditioner. Summer's heat comes fast and hot. Call Reasoner Energy 419-678-4858 and don't sweat it.
Come drive with the Cooper Farms team. All new Class A CDL drivers hired at the Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms will receive a $500 sign-on bonus after 30 days of employment. We are actively seeking second shift feed delivery drivers. These positions require a valid Class A CDL and offer a competitive wage, outstanding benefits package, and allow you to be home daily. To learn more information or to apply, visit cooperfarms.com/joinourteam or visit us at 2351 Wabash Road, Fort Recovery, Ohio. Cooper Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
All for fall. Bring the vibrant colors of fall into your home. Stop in Forget-Me-Not Florist today. beautiful fall silk arrangements and home decor just arrived. Candles, canvas prints, pumpkins, and more. Hardy Mums arriving soon. And check out our new farmhouse collection, Charming Country Decor. Stop in for Get Me Not Florist, downtown Fort Recovery.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up on Fort Recovery Radio this week. Tomorrow night, our volleyball team will host the Arcanum Trojans, and we'll simulcast Rob Weaver's coverage of the varsity match starting around 6:30. Friday, the Indians football team will begin their season hosting Sidney Lehman. Fort Recovery Radio's pregame show will begin around 7:10 with the familiar voices of Jeff Hobbs and Joe Bruns bringing you all the exciting action from Baron Brugge Field. It's the first week of the fall sports season, and Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast every varsity volleyball and football game again this year. Tomorrow night, we'll bring you volleyball. Then on Friday night, it'll be football. Get to all these games you can to cheer on our Indians teams. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. Pre-sale tickets for Friday's home football game versus Sidney Lehman will be sold on Wednesday from 7:45 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the high school office. On Thursday, pre-sale tickets will be sold in the middle school office from 7:45 a.m. to 10:45 a.m., then in the high school office from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. On Friday, tickets will be sold in the high school office from 7:45 a.m. to 3 p.m. Student presale tickets are $4 and adult presale tickets are $6. All tickets at the gate will be $7.
And we're back. Insight, Jack Stogler, Mr. Travis Faber.
Nice to be back with you. I didn't run off while you're on break.
So, one of the things that I wondered was, going into a public office, public servant type thing, do you have a background in that? Okay, you know, I know that you're an attorney. Have you been involved in the community in Salina? I know you're not from there, so.
Yeah, I absolutely am. I think community involvement is extremely important. I've sat on various boards around, but right now the community that or program that I'm most involved in would be the Cheryl Ann Group. I sit on their board. We have board meetings every month and talk about the issues with that business, and it's actually kind of incredible. So obviously we know Cheryl Ann was part of the county government system for a while. They actually just broke off and became their own private company, and they're doing fantastic, and they just have some great
So there's no technically public money doing that anymore, or?
Well, they have contracts with various public entities. Mm-hmm. They do bail out on the Medicaid system. Mm-hmm. So there's different programs that they offer, but they are not part of the county government. And I actually think you guys, you should have Beth Butler in here at some point to talk about what she's doing. She's a great business leader in our community. Yeah,
that's really good. I know they've done some great stuff over the last 60 years that I know of, I guess. And that reminds me of something that's a little off subject, but that with Cheryl Ann reminded me at the, we talked at the beginning of the show about the MD tournament, and they have the Challenger baseball game. They call it baseball. They use a softball. Instead of what they used to have, a celebrity game on Thursday night under the lights at the Big Diamond at the Muscular Dystrophy Tournament over at Coldwater, and they do the Challenger baseball. Mm-hmm. And man, did people love that.
Is that right?
Yes. Oh man, there were you know, it's just, those kids have so much fun. It is just neat to watch. And then something that was brought up then was what's going on, I believe it's Iceland, that they do 100% abortions of anyone if the ultrasound shows that they're going to have Down syndrome.
Yeah, really?
It's really,
can you
terrible.
Imagine if somebody tried to do that in Mercer County?
And I'll actually kind of segue on that. Obviously, abortion's quite a hot topic in our state, and being 100% pro-life, something that I'd like to see within our state, and there's actually been a bill proposed, so it's going through the process. Hopefully, frankly, it'll be law by the time I get to the legislature. If I'm successful in what I'm doing right now. But I would like to see a ban on any type of selective abortion. Because what it really does is it says that we don't value the lives of people with Down syndrome or with some other disability, which...
if they look like they're going to be crippled or if they're, you know, whatever it may be. I have a cousin whose granddaughter is has, I'm not exactly sure what it is, but there's a little bit of crippling thing. She was just down at the Shriners Hospital in Lexington, Kentucky today, and she is just the neatest, sweetest kid, and they're working on things, stretching out her legs and all of this, and it's so much better than it was. She had braces for a while. She doesn't need braces. There's still some gait problems, but...
And just you because know, you have a disability doesn't mean you don't have value to society. It doesn't mean you're not
absolutely
a human being.
Not.
And yeah, I'd like to see our state step up and say we put value on everyone's life, whether you have a disability or not. And the example that I would use, we had a close family to my family when I was growing up, and they had a very late pregnancy. She was in her 40s when she got pregnant. And the doctors said, we ran some tests, and our tests show that you have a 90% probability. It was, I think it was actually above 90%, that your child's going to have Down syndrome, and we would actually advise you to have an abortion at this point. And they were a good Christian family. They got together. They talked to their pastor. They talked about it in their family. They prayed about it. And they decided if God was going to give them a child with Down syndrome, they were going to love that child just like anyone else. And they decided to go through the pregnancy, and lo and behold, child was born. She was fine. Beautiful little child. They actually named her Grace, baby Grace. I think if memory serves me right, she's starting, it's either her sophomore or junior year in college, I think yesterday. So
that's impressive.
I mean,
yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's, I just... I don't like that. You know, yeah, I can at least see somebody's point, although I'm not sure I agree with it in the case of rape and things like that, but or incest, things like that. But I can understand that. Other than that, I can't understand it.
Somebody,
I still don't think I'm for it, but I can at least understand.
Somebody who's pro-life, I don't think we should follow a bad decision with a bad act. Obviously, the child didn't have anything to do with what was happening. And what we really need to talk about is what we do to come together to support that mother who was in that situation and to get the guy who put her in that situation and deal with him.
Yep. And if I remember correctly, Alexander Hamilton was, his mother was in that situation.
You know your history quite well.
I'm kind of hoping that, I'm kind of glad that they didn't do that back then.
I mean, our country would have been
a little bit different
of one of our greatest founding fathers. And, you know, every life has value. Everyone has value to add to our society. And that's why we, as a pro-life community, need to come together and get some more stuff done.
Yep. So, another hot topic. Should there be front license plates?
Yes.
In the state of Ohio.
That is
hot.
Is that a hot topic down
here?
Yeah.
Well, it is with me.
Yeah. I look around other states. Other states don't have them. It costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of money on the state level. It costs a lot of money on the personal level. If we can do away with it, I know there have been several bills that have been proposed in
the past.
Watch
it, because you're close to losing Neil's vote.
If you like them, they should be entirely optional. You should be able to put one on your car if you want. There are some good arguments for them, but at the end of the day, I just look at the cost, and is the cost really worth? You save a couple million dollars here, you save a couple million dollars there. Eventually, you're saving some pretty serious money.
I think it was Everett Dirksen about 50 years ago said, "Save a million here, save a million there." Pretty soon, you're talking about real money.
Well, no, I think the comment was, "You spend a million here, you spend a million there." Eventually, it becomes real money. But that's really not the way we need to think if we're going to Columbus.
Well, I just look at, and I've it's been years, but I've asked a few police officers from time to time what they think, and they always want them.
Yeah,
because that's one more way to identify something going on.
That's so, that would be the argument for them.
I would not be out protesting if they took them off.
So we approved the medical marijuana thing.
We did on the legislature actually passed that.
Would like you have voted for that?
Well, the eventual bill that was passed, I would have not voted for that. There was some language in there that still allowed for some stuff that I wouldn't have been particularly happy with. But I think there was a good reason for doing that. And the good reason for doing that was there were some allied liberal groups from outside of the state that were going to come in and spend a whole bunch of money to make marijuana part of our Constitution. And obviously we saw that there was a group that tried to do that, and the voters voted it down. But they voted it down mainly because there was a monopoly provision within the bill that would have given a couple people within the state of Ohio, and frankly out of the state of Ohio, monopoly over selling and growing drugs here in the state of Ohio. I know there was some polling done, and I actually know that because I helped out with the group that did the polling, and it wasn't for or against. They just wanted to see specifically where Ohioans fell on medical marijuana and on full legalization. And had the legislature not stepped in and allowed for medical marijuana, I can tell you, based on those poll numbers, we would have had wholesale full legalization of marijuana here within the state of Ohio. It would have been a Colorado-style legalization, and that would have been terrible, terrible for the state of Ohio. You look at Colorado, and every indicator they have for their society going in the wrong direction, whether that's the homeless rate, whether that's the school dropout rate, whether that's the incarceration rate, whether that's wages in the economy, they're all going in the wrong direction since they've done a wholesale legalization of marijuana. So the legislature did pass a bill. It's respectively the most restrictive medical marijuana bill within the entire state of Ohio, or in the entire country, rather. And it allows for, here within the state of Ohio, our communities to decide whether or not they're going to allow growers to come within their community. And I think that's really the topic of discussion that we need to be having within our communities now. Starting here in September, so next month, they're going to start looking at licensing grow facilities in the state of Ohio in various areas. Your community can get together. If they don't want those grow facilities in their community, they can tell those growers and tell the state of Ohio that they don't want a licensed facility within their city limits or their township limits or their municipal limits. And that's a pretty important thing. So I think everybody needs to be talking about that, because that's going to really decide the direction of your community going forward and our communities all around.
Well, with the understanding that the growing part is just one aspect. I mean,
it is.
Because
the selling part's another major aspect, the use part, the transportation part. So there's issues all around.
And each of those are going to be highly regulated.
Very highly. Yeah. And frankly, like I said, probably the most regulated in the entire state of Ohio.
Yeah.
So as you know, there's going to be a pretty strict restriction on smokable marijuana. We don't want people to go around and if you need medical marijuana, the worst possible way to get that medical marijuana in your system is to smoke it. I mean, ask your doctor, is there any other drug that your doctor will prescribe to you that the optimal way to get it within your body is to light it on fire, inhale it into your lungs? Your doctor will tell you no. Ask your pharmacist. He'll tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
So if you do need those, if you know there's an argument that it can help some people, there are other ways to get those things into your body.
I think most of it is the PCP, what I understand.
And THC.
THC. So I don't know what that means, and acronyms make me mad, but I know that's
it's the liquid within the actual cannabis that's supposed to have some positive medical side effects.
Yep. So,
well, Neil, let's take one more break. We'll be back to wrap it up with Mr. Travis Faber right after this.
Hello, I'm Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and see us on Friday and Saturday nights for our great dinner specials. You can get all-you-can-eat roasted chicken dinner for only $6.95, or you can try our 12-ounce New York strip steak dinner for only $12.95, and you can add a little zest and try your steak blackened. Both dinner specials come with jumbo baked potato and our large salad bar. We invite you to stop in at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery for a New York strip steak or all-you-can-eat meat chicken dinners on Friday and Saturday nights from 5
Hi,
to 9
this
p.m.
This is Joyce, deli manager at Wayne Street Markets. The heat is rising outside and so is our prices. Too hot to cook? Try our deli chicken and JoJo fries. On Wednesday after 3 and all day on Sundays, we have a 12-piece bucket chicken with JoJo fries for $12.99. Save $2. Also, don't forget, every Tuesday, Tenderloin Tuesday, $2.69 a sandwich and $4.29 for a meal. Don't forget, in August, schools will be starting. Watch for children and school buses. And always thanks for shopping Wayne Street IGA in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
This is Ashley Ports with LuLaRoe with Ashley and Friends, inviting you to join me and my friends at the St. Henry American Legion on Sunday, August 27th from 1 to 4 p.m., where you'll find not only me, but representatives from Keep Collective, 31 Bags, Lip Sense, and more. Spend the afternoon with us as we raise money for a great organization, the St. Henry American Legion, so they can continue spreading the goodwill in the community. That's Sunday, August 27th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the St. Henry Legion. We'll see you there.
We're back. Insight, Jack Stogler, Mr. Travis Faber. So, Travis, as we wind things down, let's do a little bit of a recap, okay? You know, kind of share a general. Let's do a minute and a half of the Travis Faber platform.
Oh, you're giving a politician a minute and a half, which means we've got, what, 5 minutes left to talk?
That's right,
that's how that stuff works. Well, you know, I'd really like to just tell people a little bit more about myself. I'm 28 years old. I'm an attorney from Saline, Ohio. I've been practicing and working in the law office together for about 6-7 years now, practicing for about 3 to 4 of those years, and I'm licensed in Ohio and Indiana. I'm a conservative candidate who's pro-life. I'm pro-Second Amendment. I actually am a competition shooter, so I go around and I shoot rifle competitions, so I'm not just saying I'm pro-Second Amendment. I actually do quite a bit in that area. I work with a lot of businesses as an attorney, so something that I'm really worried about is the regulatory environment that we're putting on our businesses and our farms, and the tax issues that we're putting and the burdens we're putting on our businesses and our farms. It's been something that really could hold our community and our state back. With that said, if you want to find out more information about me, you can go to travisfaber.org. You can also find me on Facebook at Faber for State Representative, and I try to put as much information out there about myself, about my policies, as I can. A lot of political consultants will tell you, you know, don't put too much information out there about yourself, because that's something people can use against you. Well, I want people to know as much information about me as possible. I've got all my contact information, whether it's my cell phone number or my email address on the website, so you can go to travisfaber.org and find out all that information out. I'd like to get to know every single one of you who's out there listening. So we're going to be out meeting people. I'm just finishing up my fourth county fair right now. I went to the state fair as well, but getting out there, shaking hands, knocking doors, walking in parades, doing all that fun stuff. And I, you know, I want to say thank you guys for allowing me to come here and talk about these fun issues.
So, you know, the election is May 5th?
May 8th of 2018. So, yeah, we have a little bit of time before the election. You know, you don't want to get started too late. Yeah. And
that's the primary election.
That's the primary, right. Yes, sir.
But in this district, that's basically the election.
You know, I think you just look at the Trump numbers that came out of this district during the last election, and these elections are generally decided within the Republican primary. So May 8th will be the Republican primary. At this point, I don't believe there's been a Democrat that's announced yet. We've still got a lot of time to see who comes out. It is an open seat. There's usually quite a few people that come out for open seats, but you know, at this point, I'm out there just telling people about myself, telling people about my beliefs and my values, and trying to get to know as many people as possible.
Roll the dice.
Well, it's, you know, you run your plan and you hope people get to know you.
Yeah. So, you know, as you know, because everybody that's running for this seat is going to be Republican.
Well, there might be a Democrat. We don't know. There's some time, but yeah, at this point.
Well, but as far as the one running for the seat that you're running for, this is a Republican primary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you'll hear words like conservative, lower taxes, less government,
all those fun buzzwords. Yeah.
So. How do you differentiate Travis from the other candidates?
Well, you know, at this point, I just like to kind of talk about myself. I'll let other candidates talk about themselves. But I've got quite a bit of experience in a lot of these areas. You can, you know, look into my background and look at the businesses and the people that I've worked with. And you can look into my beliefs. I, again, try to list as much information because you're right. It is easy to say, well, I'm for lower taxes. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means I'm for keeping the small business tax, which has been a hot topic in Columbus right now, whether we're going to raise taxes on small businesses. We gave one of the largest tax cuts to small businesses about a year ago, and there are some even Republicans that want to repeal that tax cut and raise taxes. I'm pro-life. What does that mean? A lot of people can say, well, you know, I'm 100% pro-life. Well, that means I support the heartbeat bill. That means I support, as we talked about earlier, restrictions on selective abortions. And that means I support legislation that I believe would help expand adoptions within the state of Ohio. You know, so I like to expand on those because it's, again, it is real easy to say real quick, oh, you know, I'm for this hot button issue. But I think it's on us as candidates to get that information out and tell people what we really believe on these nuanced issues that we're actually going to have to deal with when we're in the legislature.
Very good. Well, I have certainly enjoyed the past hour. I thank you for...
Well, thank you guys for having me. Yeah, this was excellent. You have a beautiful studio here.
So, well, Neil, I tell you what, I think it would be neat to have, like, in the middle of March, to have a debate.
I'd commit to that right now. You know, I think that's fantastic.
And FR radio, bring them all in. I think it'd be neater than hell.
From what I can remember right now, I think there's three people that have declared.
Yeah, so there's three. I will tell you.
If it gets to 10, we won't be able to do it in the studio.
Yeah. I will tell you, we've had quite a few people approach some former people that have held this seat before, whether it be my uncle or Jim Beakey or Jim Zerger, and talk about running for this position. There might be, I think we've had at least 10 people that have done that. So there's a filing deadline in February, but again, I'm more than committed to debate anyone, anywhere, anytime. Yeah. So if you guys want to have three debates between or four or 10 or 12 debates between now and the election, I'm more than happy to come out here and do that.
So, one last question, okay? If you could have two tickets to any sporting event, okay, what sporting event would you want to go to?
Would it be the boxer and the MMA guy this weekend?
No, it wouldn't be him. I can pay my $8 on pay-per-view and watch that, and frankly, I probably won't do that. The last one didn't turn out to be particularly good. But I'd have to say, if I could have two tickets to anything, it would be Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah.
Depending on what teams are there, but, you know, Game 7 of the World Series, depending on who is there at all, has got to be a good game.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we appreciate you coming up, Travis. Let's plan on you doing it again this spring when we're, you know, down the home stretch, and we will wish you luck.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Travis. And stay tuned for Sports Talk. Bobby, who's on?
We don't know yet.
You haven't decided?
We know one of them.
Head volleyball coach.
Chelsea Colley.
Volleyball coach.
Oh, very good.
So has a football coach, volleyball coach.
Really big shoe.
Really big shoe. Fee's here. Bubba's here.
Stay tuned for Sports Talk, and we'll be back next week.
Nice job.
Bye.
Good luck.
for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.